And hello everybody, how you doing? Hey, this is CA, on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. I'm at my home base studio this evening, special evening edition on Bible teaching we're going to go over with here in just a little bit. Also, I have a couple of guests that are here in my home base studio for a little while. And TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday. Of course, it's almost Friday evening, Friday night. Welcome aboard to the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Again, I'm CA. Your on-air personality, biblical teacher, independent clergy, encourager, and friend. We got a great show lined up today. I will tell you that I am going to be Bible teaching today on how to trust again after you've been burned. We have all been burned, and I'm going to be talking about that here in just a little bit. But before we do that and bring on, you know, Deacon Brown, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas, and Popcorn Bob is here with us too, another new fan favorite. I'm ready either for some hot coffee, yeah, maybe not this time of the year, cold coffee, frappuccinos, whatever it may be. How about let's kick it off, a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning.
That sweet aroma, I'm bold and beautiful, I can hardly wait to taste. Early morning, something wonderful is about to make my day. Yeah.
Amen. Now, you know, it don't matter whether it's hot, cold, frappuccino, whatever it may be. It's just a good cup of coffee, hot or cold, in Jesus in the morning, exclusively and only on my radio station, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Yay. Okay. But before we get these guys on board for a little round table on a Friday, how about some James Brown? There you go. I got you, and I got you guys on board, too. Now let's do a little bit of the Friday dance. David Bowie. So are you? Okay. There we go. A little bit of Less Dance, at least a minute, almost 2 minutes of Less Dance. How about that? Okay, well, you know what? I am ready. Let's just get this round table ready. Your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church. Okay, hang on, Deke. I know you want your music, so just stand by a minute. You know, CA's trying to get everything rolling because we're at the home base studio. So let's get him ready here. Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church. Miss Mildred's with him, but she does not want to be on the air. Maybe one day. Stand by for the deep. There we go. We are family. Let's give him a cheer. How about some hand clapping this evening? And how about some evening crow that would normally be in the morning for the deacon? All right, background, quit laughing at him. Yeah, we know he's hilarious. All right, whistle at him. All right, what do you say? Let's give him a drum roll. Fanfare. And what do you say? Countdown for
10,
the deacon.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There we go. Your friend, my friend, Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. And we're fixing to bring on Popcorn Bob, who's here too. And I see you have Miss Mildred. She's waving her hand saying no, no, no.
That's right, CA, and happy Friday late afternoon working on the evening hour. This is Deacon Paul Brown with the Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. How you doing there, young man?
I'm doing fine on a Friday. Surviving this heat. This heat wave's been something. You know, we're on our 44th day of hot weather. Miss Mildred's just, she's just sitting there just laughing about it. She says, she's looking at your bald head over there and she's laughing, Deacon. Yeah, what's that, Miss Mildred? Oh, she said she has to use a towel to wipe your head every so often because you sweat a lot.
Now, Miss Mildred, honey, please don't be telling CA and the radio family about my bald head.
Oh, my goodness, Deacon, you crack me up.
Well, CA, look at it this way. Bald is beautiful.
Well, my dad's bald. My brother's going bald. Jeff, my other brother's going bald. He'd wring my neck for that. And, well, I'm getting there. I hope I won't get there, but I might. We all got that receding hairline. But, you know, my mom, when my dad sweats, she just wipes it right off. Her dad usually wipes it right off. And so it's good to know. Miss Mildred just told me, she, like I said, she didn't want to be on the air this evening. But she's sitting there laughing at your bald head because she said you've been sweating even before you got over here at my home base studio.
Well, CA, when we left Tyler, the temperature was 108. And then when we got over here, my goodness gracious, before we met and everything, CA, 113 degrees?
Yeah, I know.
With a heat index of what, 118?
Yeah, one of the hottest days. Day 44. Well, we're going to go ahead and let's bring on Popcorn Bob.
Yeah, bring that old popcorn. I need to talk to him about one of those bags of corn that he gave me and Miss Mildred.
Okay, well, let's bring him on. He's here and he's ready. Popcorn, here we go. There we go. A little bit of the popcorn. How about that? All right. Well, let's give a cheer. And by all means, please, let's give him a hand clap. Boy, he's got a long cheer there, didn't he? Popular young man he is. How about some more evening crow, I should say. It's normally morning crow. All right. Quit laughing at him. Somebody throw a whistle on, too, while you're at it. All right. Even though Charlie's retired now. Okay, drum roll. Fanfare. Countdown for Popcorn Bob.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, your friend, my friend, Popcorn Bob. Hey, Popcorn, how you doing?
CA, thank you so much for letting me come down here to the studio to see you. And hello there, Deacon. Well, hello there, Popcorn Bob. How you doing? See, I'm doing just fine. It's such a nice studio, home base studio, that it's Space Studio 2 that CA has here. It's very nice and everything there, CA. It looks like you put a lot of work into it.
Well, you know I did, fellers. And, yeah, I mean, it's great. I love doing shows at home when I can. And, of course, a lot of times, too, we'll go down to the iHeartRadio studio in central downtown Fort Worth. We've been having a lot of internet trouble, so our programming's like, how to say it? It's just warped up, I guess you could say.
CA, we call it the Texas heat, don't we there, son?
Yeah, that's right, we do. We call it the Texas heat. Absolutely. I bet the tomatoes ain't doing too well.
CA, they call it the tomatoes. Well, let me tell you something there. Popcorn Bob calls them tomatoes. Bob, shut up.
All right, fellas. Keep it up and I'll put you in a timeout, okay? You two crack me up, you know that. Goodness gracious. Well, I'm not going to keep you too long because I'm going to be teaching, Bible teaching on how to trust again after you've been burned. It's going to be a good one. So just real quickly before you guys get ready to do your thing and everything, Deacon, I want you to ask Popcorn Bob a question. Popcorn Bob's going to ask you a question. So you go first, Deacon.
Okay, here's my question, Bob. In the Texas heat, have you ever put like popcorn shells in the car, shut the door, and see if it turns out like Jiffy Pop and pops up away?
Oh, my goodness. Deacon, that's the most stupidest question I've ever heard.
Well, CA, he may have a point. I've never done that before, but I may have to wind up experimenting and trying that out.
Okay. Deacon, did you have something else you wanted to tell him before I have Popcorn Bob ask you a question?
Yeah, that I just want to tell you, last time we talked on a little mini round table, we talked about, he said, here's you some corn that I made. Popcorn, some of that stuff was kind of stale. Now, don't be making that PSA announcement, public service announcement. I'll look and see. Maybe he accidentally gave you some expired. Well, it was so bad that Miss Mildred, she don't want to talk about it, but I had to get some Rolaids, if you catch my drift. My tummy tum was burning.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Deacon, I'm sorry to hear that. All right, Popcorn, ask him a couple of questions. Go ahead, you got the floor.
Well, thank you there, CA. Deacon, do you actually sing? When you say you're leading the choir down to Castleberry Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas, do you actually sing, son? Of course I do. I can carry a tune. You want to hear? Sure, go ahead and give me a little small taste of it, I guess. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. Living by faith with Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. For all who are saved in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Wow, that's good there, Deacon. You sing good.
I know he does, doesn't he? Man, you carry a tune really good. That's an old Baptist song back in the day. You know, let's just go ahead and give you a hand clap. You deserve that. Or cheer. Let's give you a cheer and a hand clap, Deke. Good job, buddy.
Well, thank you there, CA. What's the last question there, Popcorn? I got some other errands I got to run here, Miss Mildred. Plus, got to go take out to dinner if you catch my drift. Well, the last question I wanted to ask you was, you said you're the head deacon. How many are you over? Well, that's just simplified as six. I'm the head deacon of six deacons that are at the church. Well, how long have you been doing that for? About 20 years. 20 years, son.
Okay, well, there we go. Well, fellers, I've got a lesson to teach on. Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day, and we will see you again soon, okay?
All right, CA. Bye, everybody. Be blessed and stay cool.
Yeah, bye, everybody. Popcorn Bob shining off. You have a great day, too, as well.
There we go. A little fun-filled time with the fellers. Okay, so we're going to Bible teach. I'm going to go back to my biblical archives. And I'm going to teach on how to trust again after you've been burned. Let me just share. Everybody has been betrayed, whether it's by a best friend, your father, a boss, or even a loved one, right? And I know from personal experiences myself where I've been betrayed. Someone say, well, I'm going to be your best friend. And then you find out that they don't really be your best friend. They just put the comedy hour on and just, you know, fake it, right? So there are people that are genuine and there are people that are fake. There are people that will tell you And God doesn't want me to judge, but there's people that's going to tell you that they're Christian. And then there's going to be people that will turn like the devil themselves. I've experienced situations in my life like that with people. We're not perfect, but we can love, but God does forgive if they have him in their heart. So here's my question. What do you do with that hurt? Or how do you trust again? Or let me ask you this. How or trust again for that matter? If you've been burned and you've been wondering if you can or should trust again, let me help by first saying I get it. And I really do. Trust can be very hard for people. It's a building process. And there's lots of reasons why. The thing about it is you've got to build a strong base. Christians especially. If they say they love Jesus and they're going to be there for you and they're going to pray with you and be a prayer partner and love you as a brother and sister in Christ, then they need to stick by their word. But a lot of times, sometimes that doesn't happen. Remember the show The Mask with Jim Carrey? Well, that's the way some people are. Now, I don't judge people, but I'm just saying. Okay? So I'm going to give you some breakdowns that's going to help you. Okay? First one I want to give you a breakdown on is this. What is trust? Trust is defined in the Webster Dictionary as memrian, which is assured reliance on the character, the ability, strength, or trust of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed. In essence, trust says, I put all my confidence in you and believe you to be someone I can be myself, full self with, without being fear of hurt. If you're married, it's trusting your spouse. If you're believing in your employer, you want them to be fair and good, right? If confessing your struggles to your best friend with the confidence that they won't tell others, it's just strictly confidence between you and your best friend. It's not wondering if your parent is a safe place. And yet, unfortunately, trust gets broken. We've all been there. And hearts get wrecked. But we'll get back to that first. What does the Bible say about trust? Well, here's what the Bible says about trust. I was actually, got to be honest, friends, quite surprised back in the days to see so many verses in the Bible when I did biblical studies on this, warning us not to trust others, but I think there's a bit more than that that we find at the surface. If you go to the book and you can make notes of this, Malachi, chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, where Scripture says, put no trust in a neighbor, have no confidence in a friend, guard your doors of your mouth from her who lies in your arms. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother, the mother-in-law against the mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of their own house. Another scripture reference is Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 5, where it says, thus says the Lord, curses a man who trusts in a man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from God. Another one is Psalms chapter 146, verses 3 and 4. Put not your trust in princes in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to earth, and on that day his plans perish. Now there is certainly a theme in the scripture about dangers of trusting men to the ladies out there, right? But my understanding is if you go and you highlight this, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, communicates this as well, is that these verses describing something other than trusting simply a person. They warn of putting trust in flesh rather than God. In other words, you've got to keep God first place, okay? Whether you're building a relationship with somebody, or if you're married, or if you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, just the whole nine yards, number one should always be God. You should come together either with Bible devotion, praying for one another, praying as a powerhouse team. It's very important, okay? The Bible is a warning signal to say, don't depend on men or other things of this world over God. That's a dangerous place to live, isn't it? But then we find in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Wisdom, chapter 31 and verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Husbands, love your wife like you love the church. Wives, love your husband. You don't worship him, you worship God. You're a team, you're a unit. It's so sad in today's time, you just don't see that anymore. But it's so vitally important. So trust is good, it is healthy. A relationship between two people who mutually respect each other in an environment for trust to take root and flourish. Indeed, it's a signature of a healthy relationship. The husband trusts his wife because she is a godly woman who cares for her family. She has full confidence. He has full confidence in her. In addition, there are so many verses in the Bible that describe closeness of a relationship that only exists between two people who trust each other. Let's just share three of them, okay? First one is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It shares the value of close community and stirring one another's in love. You may want to highlight that. Book of Wisdom, the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 17, shares the value of two people sharpening each other that takes trust. And also in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, reminds us two are better than one. Right. We got to add one thing on there, though. Right. Two are better than one. Also, 2 + 1 = 3. You got to have God in it, no doubt about it. And perhaps a lot of people's favorites pointing to the relationship is that it is trustworthy. Book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verses 5 and 6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Perfused are the kiss of an enemy. A close relationship requires trust, right? Wouldn't you all agree? To learn and love people, you must have confidence in each other. However, we should be careful who we trust. The book of John, chapter 4 and verse 2 warns us that not every spirit is good to test the discernment who you trust. There are some who are in wolves and sheep's clothing. The book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 16 describes that. Also, the Bible warns us about associating with fools in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse 20. So trust is worth extending, okay? It very much is. And let me just go back here. Oh, goodness gracious, I've had my notes right here, and I can't believe I just glitched. This is what happens when you're Bible teaching. Hang on one second here. Okay, so basically, guys, trust is good. It's healthy. A relationship, of course, like I was saying, between two people who mutually respect each other in an environment to trust and take root and flourish. Indeed, it's the signature of a healthy relationship. The husband trusts the wife because, like I was saying earlier, she's a good godly woman who cares for her family. Now, on these scriptures I had read to y'all earlier, you know, the Hebrews chapter 10, you can make notes, verses 24 and 25, and then the book of Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Also going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. Okay. Let me say that a close relationship requires trust. To grow, learn, and love, people must have confidence in each other. However, we should be careful who we trust. You go to the book of John, right? Chapter 4 and verse 2. Want to highlight it? Go ahead. It says, warns us that not every spirit is good, and to the test of the discernment to trust. But there are some that are, like I was saying earlier, sheep's in wolves' clothing, and like I talked about earlier, book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 16. And I was talking about how the Bible, before we had the internet freeze up here, warns us about fools in the book of Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Let me say this, that trust is worth more than extending, perhaps not to everyone. So guard your heart in this matter and be careful who you choose to do life with. Okay? Now, here's a question that comes to mind. Should we trust someone who's broken our trust before? Well, let me just say this, that this is where the trust gets kind of foggy or difficult. If you have been hurt, like I have, you might question whether you should ever trust he or she again. It is possible, or I'm sorry, the question that comes to mind is it possible? Yes. Is it easy? No. Should you trust someone who has broken your trust? The answer will sometimes be yes and sometimes be no. If the person who offended you is truly remorseful for the pain that they put you through, the commitment to the healing process in that relationship, and it will put your work into mend the rift caused, then yes. Do the work hard want to go back to the trust if the relationship is your value? However, if the person doesn't care much about restoration and doesn't respect your boundaries and continues to take advantage of you or your relationship and you don't see it moving forward, then don't, in my opinion. There's nothing that says you must trust everyone. You don't have to trust everyone. You guard your heart, as Scripture says. However, the Bible is clear on forgiveness. Highlight this and let me read it to you. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, says, Scripture says, "Then Peter came up and said unto the Lord, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him as many as seven times. Jesus said to them, I do not say you seven times, but 77 times." See, Jesus is clear about forgiveness, friends. Should we be extended to the person who hurt you? Again, that doesn't mean that you have to trust the person's gain, but it does mean you should forgive as often as you need to, so you won't have to worry about the bitterness or the unforgiveness in your heart that will only hurt you. How to trust when you've been burned? Well, this is interesting. Let's talk about this. Learning to trust again is a long and difficult road in many cases, but it is possible. And if you let's just say that it's what you like, here are a few things to consider on this journey of that. Okay, the offending person should show remorse and commits to a relationship that will foster trust again. That could be the spouse who struggles, and I hate to say this, with the porn, entrusting to their loved one all electronics, the accountability on the devices, and choosing to seek help. This might be a difficult conversation, keep in mind, with a family member and the boundaries that established, so you do not want to feel taken advantage of. Again, we have all been there. How many of you people, I can't see a show of hands, have been taken advantage in similar situations like that? I would say we all have in different forms and fashion. So whatever that looks like, the two of you who commit to a journey that will establish trust again. This will likely require some long and hard conversations, but they're conversations worth having. Secondly, you must forgive. As I mentioned earlier, this must happen regardless. But one thing I found out in my own journey is that I have to forgive more than just once. And that's what I've really learned to lean on Jesus in these words. In fact, I encourage you to go to the book of Matthew and read the whole entire chapter, and it explains it. Most likely, you will forgive, and then those memories will come back. We've all been there, right? But here's the thing about it. You can close those doors and say, God, here it is. Close it and seal it. Along with it, it plays with your emotions, doesn't it? It's played with our emotions. And you find yourself struggling again, which means forgiving again. Forgive as often as you need to, as often as you feel you need to, when those are emotions rising and they try to steal your reconciliation. One thing I will say, and I'm going to pause on this for a second. Again, close the doors on these opportunities that were bad opportunities, these bad apples, and know that good cookies are on the way. Thirdly, be patient, kind, and realistic. You know, sometimes the hurt in us wants to see the person pay. We may want, perhaps, for this journey to be, a little harder on them than it has to be. Be kind, will you? And, you know, I know it's hard, but this is where you need to truly have that reflection of Jesus. And I don't mean allow yourself to be walked on again, but I don't use the opportunity as a chance to get back to the person with the unrealistic expectations and cutting remarks. Show kindness, be patient with both of you as you find healing and understand that it may take a while to reestablish trust again. You know, I'm truly sorry if for the hurt that you've experienced. And you know, it's probably painful to be on the receiving end of betrayal. But if you genuinely care about finding a way to reconciliation, I should say, then what you need to know is the trust is possible again with someone who has hurt you, could be through, but you got to give it all to God. See, I've watched God restore broken hearts to people that I know in a place more beautiful than where there was prior to that hurt. And that's when God, the God that we serve, you serve, I serve, and us Christians, he is able to take what is broken, and you know what? He's going to restore it to even more beautiful glory. So how can you do that in your relationship if you're like, you know, if you're liked him to? Well, you entrust the process to him. He is the only one, God is, you can always fully trust in your heart. Let's go back to the Book of Wisdom again. What do you say? You know, the Book of Wisdom, they got some great things. I got to just share that on the Book of Wisdom, one of my favorite, and I'm taking a little pause here, but on the Book of Wisdom, I remember that was like in Bible college for me. It was like, you know, CA, you're going to be teaching on the Book of Wisdom. I said, okay, that's no problem at all. In front of a bunch of pastors. Okay, no problem. So, you know, guys, I kid you not, I went all the way from chapter 1 to chapter 31. And I tell a lot of people that you can really get a lot out of the Book of Wisdom in the Book of Proverbs. You know, that's the coolest thing about it. So let's march on, what do you say? And let's continue on here. We're just about through with my Bible lesson on this. So, like I was saying, I've watched God restore broken relationships, and some may work and some may not, okay? Definitely. If you've been hurt and you feel like that ain't the direction that you want to go with your, you know, God will show you that direction. And I'm going to talk here in just a bit on closing, but I want to give you a scripture verse to keep in mind. Let's go back one more time to the Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your straight your path. Okay? He's going to make those paths straight. And maybe right now, you've been hurt, and you're like, see, hey, I don't think I'm ever going to trust again. Okay. But let me ask you something. God, and you're going to laugh at this because I've told a friend of mine, God can take pancakes and flip them. What? I use it as an example. Maybe your pancake is burnt. Maybe you're frustrated and say, oh, I just don't ever think it's ever going to happen again. When you don't think it's going to happen, that's when God works his best. What, CA? Yes. When you don't think that something great's going to happen at a divine moment, that pancake that was burnt, when the new batter gets on there and you flip it again, it's going to be the perfect pancake for you. Because God can do miraculous things as he's doing miraculous things in your heart. And we should always remember that. Okay? So if I had one thing to leave you on before we play one more song, let go and give it to God. Pray every day. Be that powerhouse that God wants you to be. And when you feel in your heart that you can trust somebody, you'll know it because God will give you the sign. We've all been there. We're like, oh, I'm never going to trust somebody again, CA. See how you know all this stuff? Because I've been there. I've been hurt. I've been stomped on like grapes. But I picked myself back up. Because you see, in this world, till he calls us home. He wants us to do the work for him, to love him, to serve him, and to enjoy life. And there's some of you guys out there that later on in life, maybe you're married. Let's talk real quickly to the married people. Maybe there's people that are married right now that are having trouble. Go to marital counseling and get it fixed. If they don't, then we continue to pray and send it on text of prayer to me. We'll keep praying for you. Or there's people right now that are single and they've never been married and they don't think they're going to find anybody. Oh, you will. Before you least expect it, you're going to know it. Because you know why? Because God has that. He has that seed planted for you. He already knows your future. He already knows your outcome. And he knows what's going to happen. And to the ones that are divorcees out there that, you know, made mistakes. Look, we've all made mistakes. But the pancakes kind of flipped to the better batter. The new batter is being mixed. See, in relationships, the best thing I can tell you, for the ladies that's looking for a good, godly man, in God's timing, not their timing, but God's timing, and for the men that are looking for a good, godly woman, you got to let go and give it to God. You can't just say, abracadabra, send her to me or send him to me. It don't work that way with God. God's never in a hurry. But when you build the number one thing, the friendship and the trust and being a powerhouse for Christ, you can't go wrong. You just let go and let him handle the whole situation. And you can go baby steps, turtle mode, whatever it may be. But when two people, when God has a divine moment, when two people get together that love Jesus, 2 + 1 = 3. Guys, he's there. In due time, you're going to see all these pancakes and batters a lot better. You'll be putting the IHOP out of business. Shh, don't say that. I don't mean that. I love IHOP, by the way. Okay, so I hope that helps you. I love each and every one of you, and I thank you for being supportive. Please share this podcast. Before we close out, let's do this. David Leonard and Josh Baldwin. Every hour, we need God every hour and every day.
Surround
every hour, every day. Lord, we need you every day. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Well, this is CA. We're going to call this show, this Friday show. Hope you enjoyed the deacon and a little bit of Popcorn Bob and a little bit of biblical teaching. And, you know, again, trust again. Will you ever trust again? Well, that's between you and God. I can't make that decision. But you know what? He wants you to live your life and he wants you to be happy. And I can tell the ladies this, and I'm sorry to hit my mic there. I pray for you ladies that don't think if you're ever going to be able to trust again. I pray that it happens for you. Because there are good guys out there. Men, there are good women out there. You'll know it in your heart. And yes, you'll be able to trust again. And if you don't ever want to, that's okay. But you know what? Never underestimate what the power of the Lord will do. Amen. Amen. Share this podcast anytime, guys. Truly appreciate you. We're going to close out in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you watch over God and protect us. Keep us healthy and safe, for we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to saddle up. I got to leave my Faith Studio too, which is just right down the street. So y'all have a great day, and we will talk again soon. Bye for now.